darkness, frozen like a stone. Light is breaking in a stable for a throne, and he shall reign forevermore, forevermore. And he shall reign forevermore, forevermore. Unto us a child is born, the King of kings, the Lord of lords. And he shall reign forevermore, forevermore.
Good evening, everybody. Welcome to Sebastopol Christian Church for our 2018 Christmas show. This is called Christmas in Sebastopol. It's a music tribute with some drama based upon a story written by our own Francine Rivers. So we really hope you enjoy the show tonight. How many of you guys are feeling the busyness of the Christmas season? Like, for example, how many of you have already got your Christmas tree? Yep. I still see those hands, barely. How many of you guys have decorated your house lights around your house? Very good. How many of you have trimmed your Christmas tree and decorated that? Done that already? Great. How about your Christmas cards? Have you gotten out all your Christmas cards where you write them out or take your photos, develop them, get out your address book, try to find out everybody's new address? Send them all out. That's a whole chore in of itself. It's just a really busy time of the year. Oh, yeah. And shopping. How many of you literally have shopped till you drop? Yeah. I went shopping one day on Friday. I'm still in recovery from it. So on Friday, for example, my wife and I, Lisa, we went down to Petaluma. You guys know those clothing outlets down there, right? So we go into our favorite upscale store called Old Navy. And we're looking for presents for the family, and I found this for my son-in-law. Now, he's got a great sense of humor. He's going to love this sweatshirt. You know what it says? It's two gingerbread boys, and one of them says, "High five, bro," and the other guy says, "Oh, snap." So this is where you know where my head's at this Christmas season. So In all the busyness of the Christmas season and all the lights and the grandeur and the movies and the dramas and the singing, let's remember the true meaning of Christmas. We are celebrating a birthday. We're celebrating the coming of one who came to change the world forever. His name is Jesus, and we are here to lift him up tonight. So I would ask you to join with me, bow your heads with for a word of prayer. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for this gathering tonight. Thank you for all these people who came out in the rain and the wind to be here to see this performance. And Lord, I pray your blessing on all the people who are doing the performing. Help them in their voices and their drama and their memory and their lines to do the best job that they can possibly do. Lord, we just want to celebrate the season and remember that you are the reason that we are celebrating. So bless this evening. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, we present to you Christmas in Sebastopol.
All right. Well, here we are all, guys. Isn't it fun to be here? Yeah, all right. Well, I'm so glad that you were able to make it to tonight's church story time. Tonight, we're going to be reading a story based on a book written by one of our friends, Francine Rivers. The name of the book is The Shoebox, A Christmas Story. And it's about a boy named Timmy who is going through a rough time in his life. His dad was in prison, and his mom didn't really have enough money to take care of him. So he was brought to live with David and Mary. David and Mary didn't have any kids of their own, so they decided they wanted to open up their home and give a home to a kid who needed one for a little while. You guys ready to jump in?
Yeah.
All right, let's do it. Timmy O'Neill came to live with Mary and David on a cloudy day in the middle of September, 2 weeks after school started. He was a quiet 8-year-old boy and very sad. He carried a shoebox with him, never setting it down unless it could be right next to him. It was a regular shoebox, nothing special, but he carried it with him everywhere he went, never letting it out of his sight. Mary and David wondered about it. Should they ask him about it? No. They decided that they would let him tell them about it when he was ready. Mrs. Iverson, the lady that brought Timmy to live with David and Mary, had wondered about it too, since he had been holding on to it since she had met him. But when she asked Timmy what was in the box, Timmy just said, "Things." So Mrs. Iverson decided not to ask him about it anymore either.
Thank you.
At Timmy's new school, he didn't put his box in his cubbyhole. It sat right on his desk right next to him. Mrs. King, his first grade teacher, had asked him about the box, but Timmy just said it was his box. When she asked him about what was in it, he just said, things. And he went on with his schoolwork. Miss King never brought it up again. She told David and Mary that Timmy wasn't the smartest boy in her class, but that he always tried his very best and that she liked that about him. One time, she wrote a note on a paper that she was returning to him, and it said, other students will learn from your example. The note had a smiley face on it, and there was a pretty sparkly star sticker on it too.
Thank you.
Mary learned that Timmy liked chocolate chip cookies. So she kept the cookie jar full. And when Timmy came home from school, she would ask him about his day while he enjoyed the cookies. One time, Timmy asked Mary why she and David didn't have any kids of their own. Mary told him that she'd asked God the very same question, but so far, there was no answer. But she was sure thankful to have Timmy living with them.
Thank you.
every evening when David got home from work, he and Timmy would play catch in the backyard. It was such a special time for both of them. Of course, Timmy kept the shoebox with him even then.
Down in my heart to stay. I've got the love of Jesus, love of Jesus.
Even when Timmy went to bed, he never let the shoebox out of his sight. And still, he never talked about it, except when someone asked about it. And he would say, like always, things. After a while, everyone got so used to it, they never even asked him about it anymore. Timmy would get letters from his mom and sometimes even from his dad. Once, his mom sent him $10. Timmy would cry when his mom or dad wrote about how much they missed him and how sorry they were that they were not all together as a family. When Timmy's 9th birthday came, David came home from work early to help celebrate. They took Timmy to a movie about a lion, and when they came home, they celebrated with pizza and a special cake and with candles. David and Mary had given Timmy a toy lion for his birthday. And as he blew out the candles, he laughed. Mary and David smiled at each other, and as Mary wiped a tear from her eyes, it was the first time they had ever seen Timmy smile or heard his laugh. They were very happy. David had told Timmy to make a wish as he blew out the birthday candles, and Timmy didn't have to think very long before he blew out the candles, for he knew what he wanted more than anything and what he wished for. And believe it or not, there was not one candle left burning on that cake. Timmy's mother came to visit him every other week. She and Timmy would sit in the living room, and his mom would ask about school and if he was doing okay with Mary and David. He always said he was doing fine, but that he missed her very, very much. His mom told him how much she missed him too, but how it was important that he be safe and happy in his nice home with the wonderful people like Mary and David. He needed to be around them so that he would understand how to grow up and be like them, not how she grew up or how his dad grew up. Before she would leave, she would hold Timmy close, kiss him, and tell him to be a good boy and remember what she taught him. He always said he would, but when she left, he would always be quiet and sad for a little while.
Thank you.
Fall came, Thanksgiving came, and the whole family all came for dinner. There were pies and more food than Timmy had ever seen in his entire life. Yeah, Mary's parents came and they played games when the dinner was over. David gave Timmy the wishbone from the turkey, and he told Timmy to let it dry, and then they would each make a wish and pull on it to see whose wish would come true. Timmy had never heard of that, but he knew what he would wish for, and he would try very hard to win. December came, and you know what that means, Christmas time. It got real cold that month, so Mary and David bought Timmy a heavy snow parka and gloves. His mom had given him a new backpack, too, and he promptly put his shoebox inside of it. Timmy carried his new backpack with the shoebox in it everywhere he went. At home, in his bedroom, when he was on the school bus, at school, even when he went to bed at night, Timmy hung it on his closet door where he could still see it. It seemed like everybody in the small town where Mary and David Holmes and Timmy lived knew about the shoebox, but nobody except for Timmy knew what was inside of it. Once, at school, a few boys tried to take the shoebox away from Timmy, but Mrs. King caught them and made them pick up trash on the school grounds during lunch hour. Sometimes, other kids on the school bus would ask him what he had in his box, but he would just shrug and say, "Things." And he never told him what those things were. The church where Mary and David and Timmy went had a Christmas program each year. The choir would practice and practice. And practice some more so that they could present the community with a cantata a musical. Everyone dressed in costumes. And this year, part of the program was to include acting out the nativity while the music played. The program director told everyone, "We are going to need lots of children to volunteer for the parts. The choir will sing. And there will be Christmas music and the angels who came to speak to the shepherds in the fields. And there's a song about wise men who came from faraway lands to see Jesus. And of course, Mary and Joseph and the baby Jesus." The kids were excited and eager to be part of the play. Even Timmy was excited, but he was too shy to raise his hand. The program director asked Timmy if he would like to be part of the play, and Timmy nodded. Timmy wanted to be a wise man, but there were already three wise men. He told Timmy that they could always use another shepherd, but Timmy once again asked to be a wise man. Finally, the director decided, why not? The Bible doesn't actually say that there were only three that actually showed up, so we'll make it happen. I'll have the costume lady make up a very nice one for you. Maybe a long blue tunic with a nice sash and a really special purple and gold outer garment. And we'll have her make a special turban for you with a big, sparkly rhinestone right in the front, with maybe some colored plumes on top. When the night came for the program, everyone was so excited that no one noticed that Timmy was holding his old shoebox instead of the fancy wooden jewelry box he was supposed to carry onto the stage. Timmy's mom had come to see him in the cantata. Mrs. Iverson, the social worker, had come as well. So had Mrs. King and two other teachers from Timmy's school. One by one, the wise men brought their gifts out to the baby Jesus. But when it was Timmy's turn to put his kingly offering before the manger, everyone held their breath. Timmy looked like a very regal king in his very regal clothes. The sparkles in the pretty clothes made him shine. The lights were on Timmy as he carefully placed his old, worn shoebox at the manger. He went to his knees and he bowed with solemn respect to the baby in the manger. Not a sound could be heard. And then, as silently as he'd walked onto the stage, Timmy turned and walked off the stage. Everyone breathed a sigh of relief. Oh, but a few of them were also wondering if Timmy was all right. He had left his precious shoebox at the nativity and never looked back.
Thank you.
When the cantata was over, Timmy's mother took his hand and went with him for punch and cookies, as did Mary and David, Miss Iverson, Miss King, and two other teachers. They all said how proud they were of him and what a wonderful job he did. Before they left, Timmy's mother asked him if he wanted to go and get his shoebox. But he said, "No, Mom, I gave it to Jesus." They were once again very curious about what was inside the shoebox. But when they passed the stage, they saw that it was gone. "Here it is, my Lord," the angel said. Jesus picked up Timmy's shoebox and set it on his lap. He put his hand over it and looked out at the gathering of thousands of angels and seraphims and saints. Even they were curious about what was inside. But only Timmy and Jesus knew. Peter the Apostle was there, and as always with boldness, he asked Jesus what was in the box. "What's in the box, Lord? What has the child given you?" Jesus smiled and said, "Just things." He had watched Timmy from the time that Timmy was conceived. He has counted every hair upon his head and knew all that was in his heart. And he had waited for the day when the child would come to him with what he had to offer. Jesus took the top off of the shoebox, and all the angels leaned forward as he took one item at a time out and held it up for them to see. And then he placed it tenderly upon his lap. What the angels, the seraphim, and the saints saw were just things. Very simple, ordinary things. The worn and faded silk edge of his baby blanket. A wedding picture of his mother and of his father. His mother's letters with a rubber band around them. A $10 bill. His father's note of love and apology. A math paper with a smiley face and a note from his teacher and a pretty sparkly star sticker. A movie ticket stub. Used birthday candles with dried icing wrapped in pretty wrapping paper and tied with a bright curled ribbon. The big side of a broken turkey wishbone. A pretty red maple leaf. An old baseball. And 6 chocolate chip cookies. There were unseen things too. Hopes and dreams, prayers, and many worries and fears. All of them were in the box that Timmy gave to the Lord. Jesus put everything back in the box with tender care. He put the lid back on the box and then rested his hands upon it as he looked at the multitude before him. Timmy has given me the most precious gift of all, the faith of a child. It's one of my favorites. So now, kids, I know your parents are waiting for you, so I'm going to dismiss us right after we pray, okay? All right, so everyone, close your eyes. Father in heaven, We thank you for being with us each and every day. Thanks for taking care of us, for watching over us, and God, for taking the ordinary things of our life and showing us the beauty in them. God, thanks so much for this special story and for the chance for us all to read this story together. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Huh. I guess they were done for the night. I was going to give them shoe boxes, too. Oh, well, I can do it next week. Well, at least I could take my old shoebox home with me. I sure have been blessed. And this box sure has come in handy over the years. Thanks, Lord.
More angels were sent to guard Timmy from that day forth. They would never leave his side. They would be with Timmy when Mary and David Holmes invited his mother to come and live with them. She would have the room right across the hall from Timmy. And these angels would be with Timmy when Mary and David had a baby of their own. They would be with him when his father got out of prison in time for Timmy's high school graduation. They surrounded Timmy as he grew up and married, and had children of his own. They continue to surround him and protect him, and will be with him until the very moment Timmy is ushered into heaven, straight into the waiting arms of the Lord who loves him. And Timmy continues to praise Jesus every day, knowing that every blessing has come from him.
There will be no technical difficulties in heaven. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. Okay, now we can relax.
Hallelujah.
Oh well, let's go to a different track. Come on, every prayer. Praise you, Jesus.
Woo! Wow.
Yes.
What a show. Let's give our thanks and appreciation for this entire worship team. We have the choir. We have the kids. We have the angels. We have Jesus himself. Luke, I guess you can shave your beard after the show if you want. You know, that's wonderful. We have our sound tech crew in the back. We have our stagehands. We have Judy and Holly and Diane, who are our great stagehands to help us out. And we have our original storyteller of the book, the Christmas Shoes? The Shoebox. I'm going to never live that down. So The Shoebox by Francine Rivers. So thanks to her. But the most thanks that we want to offer tonight is for our intrepid leader, our choir director, our playwright, the one who put all this together, the one who corralled all of these cats and herded them somehow into one organized show. And that is our wonderful sister in Christ and friend, Becky Say. Let's give it up for Becky. You know, in its simplest form, Christmas is the celebration of a birthday party. It's a birthday party for Jesus. And what we saw tonight was little Timmy in that shoebox that he collected and left that gift for Jesus. Jesus said that even beyond what was in the shoebox, that the greatest gift that Jesus received from Timmy was his childlike faith, simple faith, the faith of a child. You know, let's don't overcomplicate Christmas. Christmas is all about God and his love for us. It says that God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but that God sent his son into the world to save the world through him. Jesus came to be our Savior. Why did he do that? Because God loves us. God made us in his image. He made us as human beings in his image. We have the ability to love. We have the ability to relate. We have the ability to create. We have the ability to make moral decisions for good or bad. And God made us that way so that we could live in a right relationship with him. And being estranged from a relationship with God, God made the first move to us. And he came in the form of a child. He came in a form of a humble baby. And that baby would grow up and he would live and he would show us how to live in a way that pleases God. And he would give his life on the cross so that we could be forgiven and have eternal life with God. God made us for a relationship with him. That's the gift that God gave to us. What is the gift that God wants back to him from us? He just wants the same gift that little Timmy gave. He wants our faith. He wants our simple trust. So I hope this Christmas that you will give the greatest gift that God is asking for, the only gift that God is asking for, back from you and me this Christmas, and that is our simple faith and our trust in his son Jesus. Amen? Let's pray together. Lord, we thank you for this evening, this wonderful performance, the singing, the acting, the storytelling. Lord, how it all comes together to honor you and to give glory to your son and to point everybody to a God who loves us and a Savior who came to save us and to bring us back into a right relationship with our Creator. Lord, we love you and we pray that we'll have a wonderful Christmas celebration this year. May you be glorified and lifted up. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. I have some other good news for you. There are cookies and sweets and coffee downstairs right after the service. Also, in just 8 or 9 days, we're going to be gathering right back here on Christmas Eve at 5 o'clock for a special candlelight Christmas Eve service. Please come back. We love to have you here tonight. God bless you all. We're dismissed.
I run to you. My heart's in your hands now. I'm not afraid with you by my side. I feel your